could feed us all. But in the miracles of Jesus, of course, we know that it did. In a few minutes, I'm going to invite you to identify a favorite song or hymn. Sometimes we'll sing hymns that you really enjoy. And sometimes we never get around to singing your favorite. So what we're going to do in a moment or two is we're going to actually invite you, just kind of in a popcorn style, to offer the name or a number, if you can find it in the book, of a song that's your favorite. We'll sing just probably two or three of them, and we'll just sing the first verse. So it's just a chance to bring into this service some of your favorite hymns. So just be anticipating that. We'll probably gather more than we'll be able to sing together, but we'll just have a few of those shared with each other. One of the things that we bring into church, of course, is the experience of the past week, the people we've met, the things we've done, and the places we've been. And there's a couple in this church who've been to some quite exotic places in this past week. Nikki, where have you been?
We've been to Vietnam and Cambodia. We've been up the Mekong River. And for the first week, we visited places in Vietnam. And for the second week, we visited places in Cambodia. And we've had an amazing time. It's hard still to process it. But it's also been a time of differences. So we've seen a lot of Buddhas. We've seen enormously rich places like the palaces, but we have also seen the killing fields of Cambodia and the torture center, and that takes your breath away.
Anybody improve on that story for the past week? That's lovely, Nikki, and welcome back to both of you. It's nice to have you back in, back home to be part of this gathering as well. So thank you very much for coming. There's a technical word for what we do when we gather and when we worship. The word is liturgy. We follow a liturgy. You could almost think of it as a ritual. There's a pattern to what we do week by week. Now, the word liturgy has got an interesting background. The Greek word for liturgy is liturgia. It's made up of two words, litos and ergos. And those two words literally mean people work. The work of the people. Now, when we have a written service sheet and we read the words on the sheet, it's almost as if somebody else has already done the work and we're just reading them. So this is one of the reasons for trying to celebrate some of the things we uniquely bring into our service this morning. The liturgia was actually the expectation placed on all people in ancient Greece, particularly in Athens, to do something on behalf of the whole city and to do it at their own expense, so that different individuals would sponsor a dramatic performance or a poetry contest or something else, and it would be that which they would bring and give to the rest of the community. And that's, I think, a good image of what we do on a Sunday morning, or should be doing, is we are bringing ourselves an offering to the rest of the community. So liturgy is, if you like, what we bring into worship. And we say these different words, but we mean them deeply because they mean something to us. We're going to now listen to a reading that reminds us of the fact that we gather, that we belong to one another, and that we are members of one another, as Paul expresses it. And I want you to listen to the way in which he describes it, as Liz will come and read the first reading for us. Thank you, Liz.
It's taken from Romans 12, 1-8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Of course, music is one of the things that we enjoy together. We sing together, we listen to music, and it's very important, and it's a way of expressing what we are and how we feel. I'm delighted that Jill and Nick are going to offer a little music to us. Jill, come and just tell me briefly what you're going to play. Jill, I don't know if you know it, Jill often plays for us in special services, particularly to accompany some of our singing, but we only hear the violin then amongst all the other instruments, so we're going to hear it now specially with music that you particularly enjoy. Tell us what it's like. What kind of music do you really enjoy?
Well, a few years ago I started playing some folk music, which I've always loved, folk music, and a friend of mine who plays the banjo, plays bluegrass band, said I'd really enjoy going to an old-time and bluegrass music course that's not far from here at Kingham Hill School, which happens a couple of times a year. So I went along, and I'd already loved that kind of music from hearing it, you know, in films. And so I joined and went along for the week and just loved it. I just found it very soulful and beautiful. And it turns out where Wanda comes from, there's a lot of that music. So we have a lot of chats about it. And but anyway, I just have been playing a lot of it in the last. It's quite different, though. It's you know, it comes from lots of different music background. You know, folk from all parts of the world. It's kind of a fusion, really, of lots of different folks. So, but it's its own style.
So let's hear a little bit of this special music.
Yeah, Nick is. This is very recent that we've been playing together, like yesterday.
Since Friday.
All
right.
So anyway.
Well, come and join us.
Oh, it's called Indian Corn. It's old time Indian.
Thank you both very much. That was lovely. not the sound you often hear in a church service, but an offering to us to just inspire us, to lift our spirits. And I don't know how many toes were tapping, but I did see a few heads nodding, so the rhythm was great. Okay, your favorites. Let's have a couple of songs that we really enjoy. Just shout them out. Shine, Jesus, Shine. Sorry? 444. Is that Shine, Jesus, Shine? 445, all right? Sorry? Number 50, all right? So we've got 445, we've got 50. One more, please. 506, all right? We've got three. 445, 50, and 506, all right? We'll just sing the first verse of them just to get a flavor of these songs into our worship together. So, Harriet, can you manage number 445 to start with? I think we have to stand for Saint Shiny. Number 50, 50. Number 506. So remain standing for the gospel.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, and I'm reading from John 6, 1 to 14. After this, Jesus went across Lake Galilee, or Lake Tiberias as it is also called. A large crowd followed him because they had seen his miracles of healing those who were ill. Jesus went up a hill and sat down with his disciples. The time for the Passover festival was near. Jesus looked round and saw that a large crowd was coming to him. So he asked Philip, Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people? He said this to test Philip. Actually, he already knew what he would do. Philip answered, "For everyone to have even a little, it would take more than 200 silver coins to buy enough bread." Another of his disciples, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, said, "There is a boy here who has 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish, but they will certainly not be enough for all these people." "Make the people sit down," Jesus told them. There was a lot of grass there. So all the people sat down. There were about 5,000 men. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to God, and distributed it to the people who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, and they all had as much as they wanted. When they were all full, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces left over. Let us not waste any." So they gathered them all up and filled 12 baskets with the pieces left over from the 5 barley loaves which the people had eaten. Seeing this miracle that Jesus had performed, the people there said, "Surely this is the prophet who was to come into the world." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you.
I don't know if you've heard that story so many times that it's so familiar that you don't necessarily pick up all of its detail, but there's a little gem in John's version of that story. The little boy who offered the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and we know that the children outside are thinking about that story, and we've sung a song about it, and we'll sing it again when they come back to join us. But can you imagine the anxiety, perhaps, or the uncertainty that little boy had? He had bought his own lunch, and he would be satisfied, and now he was being asked to offer it to everyone. And I suspect that when we come into worship, there's a little bit of that unsure. Can I really tell who I am and what I feel and what I've been doing and how I think? And is that something I can offer to the rest of the gathering that can help and support the worship that we offer today? Well, sometimes the things we do outside of church don't feel as if they fit. What's my day job got to do with what I do on Sundays? What does my work in the school or in the home or wherever it might be have to contribute to my worship to God? Well, here's a little example. Peter, come and join me. We know Peter for various reasons, of course, as a member of the congregation, but I bet you don't know this about him. He's going to tell us. What have you been doing, Peter, over the last few months, actually since the beginning of the year?
In relation to what I'm bringing here now?
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Well, a couple of weekends ago, I was sailing my sailing canoe on the river at Lechlade on the Thames. And I've also previously taken it earlier on in the year to Cardigan, to the River Tyfe, and sailed it from St. Dogmail's up to the bridge, and stopped and had a cup of coffee and sailed it back down. But not just with me, Claire was in the front as well.
You say my canoe, but it's actually yours in a very special way, because it isn't something you went out to the shop and bought.
No, I built it in the dining room quite a few years ago now. I had a special pass to use the dining room for this purpose between Christmas and Easter. It had to be out by Easter. I covered it all with plastic, polythene, and then set about building this canoe, which is more like a very narrow sailing dinghy, really. And it just fitted on the diagonal, and because it was a dining room, it had French windows, so I could get it out. That was quite important, actually.
And you brought part of it with you. Would you like to show it to us?
Yeah, I brought a few bits and pieces. This is the lee board that goes over the side. There's like a centreboard in the sailing dinghy, and it stops the boat drifting sideways and helps a little bit with the ballast. This started out life as a plank, and it's got a bit of shape in it now, which is very satisfying to make. Mm-hmm. What else have we got?
We did actually talk about bringing the whole canoe in. But we decided it would fit, but it would have been a bit of a job.
A rudder, because it's a long, thin boat, it's got a push-pull rudder. I tried to bring it in, but it was getting a bit dangerous. You push and pull to turn it left and right.
Mm.
And then, also, for dramatic effect, I have brought in the sail.
Would you like to?
Yeah, Dave, you have that. And that kind of sits like that at quite a steep raked angle. And this was a square section of timber when I began, and It's quite interesting how you can turn it into a circular shaft and then taper it down to the bottom. And it's got little reefing points there if the wind gets up a little bit too much. So I've been taking this out really on any water that's sheltered. So lakes in Lake District, Grasmere, Coniston Water, and been up to Blakeney in Norfolk with it, and similar places. And what's great is building it was great. It's wood construction. But sailing it is even better because you're out on the water and it's quite unintrusive. It's quite small, and you
just
slip along.
What does it feel like
along.
To be sort of down there at the level
yeah,
of the water?
You're on at your eye level with the herons, and it's very quiet and it's tranquil, and all you can hear is the chuckle of the water as it just slaps on the side of the boat, and it does help you stop and unwind and think about the beauty of creation, and so it's very meditative in some respects. Mm. You don't have to switch off completely, though. You've got to keep on the ball because it is a canoe and it will tip up unless you're very, very careful.
That's a lovely image, though, isn't it? And, I mean, maybe it awakens for each of us something about what is it that awakens us to something beyond our normal lives that reminds us. I mean, you're talking about being out there and feeling quite meditative.
Yes.
You know, so it sort of contributes, in a sense, to a different part of your life than than your day job.
That's right.
Although you do work with water in your day job, too.
Well, in a roundabout way, yes. More the dirty stuff, though, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, that's lovely. Thank you, Peter, for bringing that. That's another offering to us to inspire us or to stimulate us in our thinking about our worship.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Peter. Well, let me offer you just one final thought. In reflection on what we've been doing this morning, and it comes from that passage that Liz read for us. Thank you for doing that, Liz. That passage in Romans tells us that we are members of one another, and we each bring something different into this community, into this gathering, this fellowship. There's an invitation there for us to think about what it is that we give. Do we have gifts of administration, of caring? Do we have gifts of leading or giving or counseling? Or other things that might be the thing that we bring that no one else can bring that makes our fellowship and our worship just that little bit richer. The passage ends with this interesting phrase. The one who does acts of mercy, that's the translation that Liz read for us, the one who cares, let them do it with cheerfulness. Now that word cheerfulness is actually in Greek hilaritas. If you transliterate that into English, of course, it's an invitation for us to bring our gifts with hilarity. Now, that's not the kind of superficial laughter and foolish glee that sometimes possesses a group of people. What Paul is using, that word in Greek, is he's using a word that speaks about something that comes from very deep within us. Let us give it with the whole of our hearts that is full of joy. And in a sense is settled in our sense of who we are and what we do and what we are committed to. So it's not this sort of boisterous hilarity that sometimes occurs in a party. It's something much deeper, that cheerfulness that should inspire every part of our lives. It's a quality that isn't dependent on the circumstances. It isn't something that's just a description of a physical behavior. It's not just jumping for joy, which some churches, of course, do a lot more than we do. It's something much more profound and deep. Let us bring the gifts that we have to one another so that in our acts of worship we can all do this with this kind of hilarity, this kind of cheerfulness. So it's not just the smile on your face, it's the joy in your heart that inspires you. One translation uses the words, it's our heart that is laughing, not just our faces. So, as Paul says a little bit later in this, in Romans, this is something that comes from us putting on the whole of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an image that almost suggests that we put on Christ like we put on our clothing, that we live out into the world through that joy of knowing who Jesus is and how important he is in our lives. And a church that is living this kind of hilarity, this kind of cheerfulness, is comfortable living in those clothes. So here's a question. What would it be like if the church, if this church was a community that really enjoyed being itself, being true to ourselves in this deep cheerfulness. We're now going to say the words of the creed.